Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy Epiphany.
Happy Epiphany.
Anyone have a happy birthday?
Raise your hands. Come on, ladies.
Happy birthday. Okay. I have some announcements that I'm going to lift. Mary would like to make one first.
Tomorrow at noon.
Lose your outside voice? No, Mary.
Okay. Tomorrow at noon, the UMW will be hosting their holiday potluck. It's at 12 noon, and it's at Marty Virtue's house, and that's 1535 Meadowlark Lane. She would sort of like to have a little count so she knows how many people to plan for. So if you could somehow either call Marty or myself and give us a number if you are coming, and hope to see you at 1 o'clock. And it is a potluck.
No, I thought it noon.
Noon, and it is a potluck. Yeah, don't come at one, we'll be done eating.
Okay. The sign up sheet for the fellowship time is in the fellowship hall. And I'm asked to invite you, encourage you, exhort, if necessary, to sign up for one of those Sundays as you're able to. Notice we're going to undecorate the sanctuary today. There is a new program that the Clergy Association is coordinating with the schools, and that is we're going to do things to help stock the schools. There's a list of on all of the media that we have, and also in the bulletin here, things that we're collecting during January. Is there anything in here that you think? Okay, let us prepare for worship, please. Oh, I'm sorry. You can play now.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Concordia. Please take a moment to sign the red attendance pads that are at the aisle end and then pass them back to the aisle for the ushers to for the ushers to remove at the end of the service. I guess Pastor Doris has already done the announcements, so we can continue on to singing Star Child number 2095 in the Black Hymnal. Join me in our praise as printed in your bulletin. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Behold the glory of the Lord. Alleluia.
Though darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations,
the Lord will shine upon the children of God.
God's glory will appear over you.
God's presence will shelter us.
Please join me in singing This is a Day of New Beginnings, number 383 in your red hymnal.
Rest the pain that's gone.
maker of every nation, by the light of a wondrous star, you led wandering magi to the humble infant Jesus, revealing to them your hope for the world. In the miraculous and the mundane, in union with all who have glimpsed the light of your grace, lead us to Christ, that we may offer worship and serve him with sincerity of heart. For he lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Pictures taken.
Angels.
Yeah, do you remember being angels? Okay. Well, so you did it last year. That was last year already, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, I wanted you to know that while I was on vacation, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about all the people who are angels and carry God's message. And while I was walking along the white sand beaches, I saw something that made me think. No, I didn't see a crab. No. Everyone was happy to be there. No, not a big dolphin. I found, oh, not just seashells. No, not, okay, look at them. See all of them? You think they look like sunflower seeds?
They look like angels.
That's right. That's what I thought. See? And there were all kinds of other seashells there, too. But I just picked up the angel wings. Aren't those neat?
Yeah.
You wish you had one?
Yeah.
If I give you one now, do you think it'll make it home okay? Or do you think it'll break before you get home? Huh? You're more, okay, that's, and I tell you what, they still have sand on them. Oh, see, that's white sand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, and you want to know something? I think there was something living in them at one point.
Yeah, because
they were closed. Yeah, they were closed up and they opened up. Something came out, but what came out?
Hermit crab.
A baby sea turtle. Okay, so this might be the end of our thinking about angels for a year, but it won't be the end of our thinking about how we carry God's message. Okay, so how do we carry God's message? By shining the light. Oh, don't go away without a shell. We carry God's message by loving other people, right? Okay. Would you like one? Okay. Would you like two? Would you like one? Would you like two? Would you like one? Would you like two? Be careful. If you try to close them, they might break. I think they're supposed to be angel wings now. Would you like two? Would you like three? Should I save them for next year?
I will have three.
Okay, you'll have three, okay. And did you notice how they're all different too? There's none that are the same. Okay? And that's one of the messages that I want to carry, is that They all kind of look the same, but there's no two exactly alike.
Like snowflakes.
Like snowflakes. There's no two snowflakes alike, are there? And what else is there no two things alike? There's no two elephants alike, yeah? Are there two people alike?
Yeah.
Identical twins? Do you think they're totally alike, though?
No.
Because they think you're alike, but are you?
Yes.
No. Okay? Not even close. Okay. And that's, so that's what's the message that I want us to think about. It kind of looks like a heart, too, yeah. Okay, so what I want you to remember with this is that there's no two of us that are exactly alike. Even if we're identical twins, we have some different experiences, so we're not exactly alike, okay? And so that means that each one of us is special. There'll never be another one of us in this whole world. And that means that God has given us... You can have the same name, that's right, but that doesn't make us the same. And what that means is that each one of us has some special gifts that only we can share with others. There's something special about us that only we can share. Isn't that wonderful? See, I think, you know, sometimes when little people or big people might rub someone the wrong way, they'll say, boy, I'm glad there's not two of you. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's have a prayer, huh? I'm just going to hold mine open like this. Okay. We thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you have made each one of us. And each one of us is special.
Help us
to use all that we are.
Help others.
Let us be, carry your message of love. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now don't cry. Oops, here's two. Okay. Don't cry if they break. I've got more.
Our first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. This is a chapter of opposites. Things like light and dark are emphasized. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. And now we shall listen to our wonderful handbell choir.
Thank you.
next reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is Paul writing to the Gentiles. He's already in prison in Rome, which gives you a little context behind the reading, I hope. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promised in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. And I'm going to read, there's just one sentence left in this chapter. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose your heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory.
Thank you, Lisa. Most of us will have in our lifetime experienced an aha moment, or more than one. I don't know if I've used this before, but I didn't understand what an adverb was until I was in my 50s. And one day, all of a sudden, I went, oh! If an adjective describes the noun, the adverb must describe the verb. Wow! I had always struggled with an adverb and what it was. And it was just like, boom! I was so excited. And so since then, I've been trying to understand a dangling participle. A different aha moment for me was when my son was between 3 and 4 years old, just about 4 years old. We had moved to a new community, and my children were in daycare. And once school started, my son was going to be going to school in January for preschool. So once school started, my daughter was in school and I took him to the same place. And during those next few months, my son would panic whenever I was going to leave him with someone else. And it wasn't a temper tantrum that he was throwing. It was like we would be at the farm, and I would say, oh, I'm going to go home now. Do you want to stay and wait and go with your dad? And he would say, yes. And before I could get to the car, he would run to me in a panic and say, I want to go with you. I don't want to stay. David's, my kid's great-grandparents had been babysitters for them from the time that they were tiny, and they loved Grandma and Grandpa and Aunt Marie. Were crazy about them, but I couldn't even leave him there. He would just panic. And every once in a while, I'd pick him up from the daycare, and he would say, not the real names, Mom, Mary hit Abby again today. And Mary was the caregiver, and Abby was her child. And he would say that to me from time to time, and I'd go, okay. And then one night I picked him up, and he got in the car, and he said, Mom, Mary hit Abby again today. And I was watching him sleep that night, and I had this aha moment that my son, at 4 years old, did not know that Mary wasn't going to hit him also. Now, what she was doing was spanking. My son was not able to discern the difference between hitting and spanking, because we did not use spanking as a form of discipline. And so I was watching him, and all of a sudden I realized my son is telling me that he's terrified. It puts him in a panic to be away from me. And that was an aha, not a happy one, but it was one that came to me, and I was able to make that change, that he didn't go back there. I did explain to her why he wasn't going to be coming back, and she said, we choose to use spanking as a form of discipline. And I said, but he doesn't understand the difference. We have aha moments. For John Wesley, the aha moment, a great one for him, his heart was strangely warmed in hearing Martin Luther's prelude to the Book of Romans. It was talking about grace. Now, John Wesley grew up with a very religious mother who raised those children to know the Bible, to know God, to know right and wrong. John Wesley went to college, and he learned more about this, and he knew that he was called. He came to the United States, which wasn't the United States at the time. We were the colonies, and he went to Georgia to spread the gospel. And it was a miserable failure. He went back to England desolate because he had failed so much. And while he was back in England, back home then, he went to this study that one night, and he listened to it being read. And it was, aha, that's what grace is. God loves even me. God forgives even me. And with that aha moment came the Methodist movement. That's all it was a movement. It wasn't a new religion at that time. But that's why we are here now. Paul is also speaking of Epiphany today, those aha moments. He's talking about how God has been made known to him through Jesus Christ, but not only to him, not only to and for the Jewish people, but also for the Gentiles. God is made real. And in this letter, he says, you have heard about the responsibility to distribute God's grace, haven't you? He says, it's not enough that you have received God's grace. It's not enough that you have this within who you are. He says, when you have received it, you have the responsibility to share it. He doesn't say if you have received it. He says when you have received this grace, it is your job to share it with other people. And you don't share it with the people that you know. You don't share it with just your family. You don't share it with just your friends. You don't share it with just the people that you like. You don't share it with people who have the same color skin as you. You share what you have received. That is your responsibility. And it's not just a responsibility. It's something for which we are accountable. Now, we do have disagreements with family members. Brothers and sisters don't always get along. Husband and wives don't always get along. This scripture tells us that we cannot hold a grudge. We can't punish someone because they have failed to meet our expectations. We may not withhold grace because someone has failed us. We get hurt feelings. Have you discovered that your children have taught you so much about who God is and about what this life is about? My son taught me another lesson. One day I was scolding him, and I'm not always aware when I'm scolding that I'm being as harsh as I am. My kids have taught me that I can be. So I was scolding him, and all of a sudden he said, "You broke my feelings." I didn't hurt them, I broke them. And I wish that I had been so cognizant that I would never have done that again. But it happened more than once, more than twice. It happens in marriage. And we can't store that up. We have all been given grace so that, Paul says, so that we will share it. And maybe disagreements with your spouse, those things you can, those are fairly easy to let go of. Or among siblings, you can let go of some of that stuff. My sister and I never agreed on how to make gravy. She insisted it had to be with flour, and I liked cornstarch. Didn't lose sleep over it. But there are some really tough ones. When an accident has taken a child from you. One of my friends from high school had a son who was killed in an accident, car accident, by a drunk driver. I went to the visitation, and I said something to Randy about it. And Randy's response to me was, "That poor young woman, she has to live with this for the rest of her life." Or whatever the cause. I know of a man, a couple, whose daughter was killed by her husband. She had lived with physical abuse and One night, he killed her. I don't know if it's the case now, but her father said he didn't know how he could ever forgive that man. And that topic, the idea of grace, because we have received grace, is something that he really struggled with. I don't know if he still struggles with that. Or if your partner has sought comfort outside of your marriage, how can this grace be given in a situation like that? Or the end of a marriage, when the stockpile of hurts become weapons that are launched back and forth between one another, seeking to annihilate the other. Those are the hard things. Some of us can say that I have received so much grace in my life that hurts or violence or harsh words can be let go. That grace is for the person who's doing the forgiving, but that grace is also for the person who has caused the hurt and the pain. Come back to scripture that Paul has given us for this day. We have been given grace so that we will share it. We have been given grace by Jesus in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the promise of his return. We have been given grace. And with that grace, we are to be fruitful and multiply just as Jesus did. We are to be empowered as was Jesus. We are to be accountable. This is God's good news for us today. The good news that we don't have to be weighed down by unforgiveness, that we can give the mercy that we have received. I would like to imagine that as you hear these words, whatever burden, whatever you are holding on to that weighs you down, that could all just float out of you and leave you more whole. We have been given grace, abundant grace, which we do not deserve, which we cannot earn, so that we can share it. Amen.
Good morning. We're kind of a fill-in here.
God works in truly mysterious ways. Without knowing the topic of today's sermon, without knowing what it was going to be about, Dave has rewritten a song. You will, I'm sure, recognize the tune, and it's just awesome how it fits in with today's sermon. We're calling this newborn son.
In a stable cold in Bethlehem, there lies a newborn son. He is the hope of many a poor soul. His father stands beside. The angels sing his glorious praise. The stars are heaven wide.
The shepherds came and bowed their knees. The kings, they did the same. They brought spice and precious gold to praise that baby's name.
The only thing a believer needs is the power of Jesus' grace. Let it rule your heart, your soul, your soul, and it started in that place. In a stable cold in Bethlehem, there lies a newborn son. He is the hope of many a poor soul.
And Lord, I know
the ushers to come. Thank you. Let us pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks for the light of the world, Jesus Christ, through whom we have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in your wisdom. Receive the gifts we offer and help us to live the honor and glory of your name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me share with you some concerns that have come to my attention. Helen Larson is Leslie Cook's aunt. She has been here with us sometime. And she died on Christmas Day, and we want to remember her family. And her daughter, Chris, was in a serious car accident on New Year's Eve. She's got broken bones and cracked vertebrae and is doing well, but is going to be in a therapy center for a while. Dolores Dixon, Dave's mom, has had a port put in for dialysis and will have ongoing need of prayer. Alice Kinchy had a serious diabetic spell last week and was actually med flighted to Madison. She's home now and is under control, but can use prayers, and we also are asking Joanne if she would coordinate some meals for Alice, remembering that she's diabetic and she's just one person. If you would like to help out with that, see Joanne, please. And Larry Hinyup is, first of all, Nora had bypass surgery in the time that I've been gone, and Larry is scheduled to have some work on heart valve in a few weeks. So we want to keep all of these people in our prayers. Is there anything else? Yes. Okay, Bruce Cook is having hip surgery on the 15th. Yes.
Who has supported us, and I do mean us, I'm now in advanced stages of Parkinson's, as you can see. And Judy, if you'll lift up your wrist, she's a little immobile, so I'm at the help of one hand and two fingers to help me as best she can, and we appreciate your support and prayers and concerns. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord of bright and abiding light, you have shown us in the person of Jesus a new way to live. You have poured your light into the world, and you've asked us to live in the light rather than to run and hide in the darkness. You promise to be our light all of our days, and you ask us to trust you. We know that the journey is sometimes risky, living in the light. It means that we need to be very serious about our responsibility of sharing your grace. We need to be serious about giving you our best and offering hope and light to others. In this new year, we bring to you the names and situations of others for whom light seems to be a stranger. They struggle with ill health, economic hardship, broken, damaged relationships, loss of loved ones, and anxiety, and we place all of these people whom we have named in your care. Let your light shine on them, bringing healing and hope. And as we have lifted before you the names of the people who are near and dear to us, we also lift ourselves up as people in need of your grace. Our world is in the midst of strife and wars, oppression and famine, hunger, alienation, situations in which we have abused the world and each other. Heal us, O Lord. Renew us with your life-giving meal. Let us go from this place, a people of peace and mercy, and help us to be bearers of your light in all that we do. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Kingdom, the power, the glory. As Jesus sat with his disciples on that day before Good Friday, what we call Good Friday, he took bread, he lifted it and gave thanks to God for the bread. He offered it to his disciples and said, take this and eat it. This is my body given for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you eat it, remember me. And then as the meal neared an end, Jesus took the cup, and again he gave God thanks, offered it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, remember me. Gracious God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. This is the feast which God prepares for the people of God. In the United Methodist tradition, all are welcome to share in this meal. This morning, we are going to share it with you staying in your seats. The ushers are going to come and they will bring first the plates to you, hold the bread, and we will commune together. Then they will bring the cups and hold that, and we will commune together. I invite the ushers to come. Does anyone need gluten-free? Thank you. symbol of our unity in Christ is our taking the bread and eating it together. Let us eat and receive the gifts of God. Jesus Christ feeds us. His love, his mercy, his peace, his hope, his charity, all of that feeds our spirits. As we drink, let us drink that in. We thank you, gracious God, for your gifts, for the lives that we have, with all that we have received. Give us courage, strength, whatever, to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is number 230. O little town of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.